Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. It's just great to be here. I've passed by this place a lot on the on 421 going to the lake and so forth. And I never knew what this was. I thought, man, I'd love to meet the person that lives in that house. But as we come to find out that it's not a house, but it's I would say it's a house of the Lord. Amen. A house where God's using people to be of His service and to further the gospel, to further the truth in this world we have, and to just bring God's will down here to human beings. So anyways, like I said, I'm grateful to be here, but I'm also greatly challenged. As somebody my age and the point of life I'm in, I sit among people here who have been in God's service a lot longer than I have, who've walked with the Lord faithfully for probably more than I've been alive at this point, and even people that are listening online. I'm just greatly challenged because I believe the people that I'm getting the privilege to speak to today are really the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and this company, what it represents, the mission is really, you guys are on the front lines. You're on the front line of the battle, and you're at the cutting edge of the sword with what you all do here. So I'm greatly challenged, but I'm, once again, privileged to be here. So I've got a message this morning, and because of this, I just really want to be an encouragement to you this morning. I want to try to just encourage you to keep going, to keep pushing to the mark, as Paul pushing towards the mark, as Paul says. But I want to just encourage you this morning with this. So if you have your Bibles, or you're able to access your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. And we're going to be looking at somebody who is looking at the life here of someone who is not remembered well. I'll say that. We're going to be looking at the life of Israel's first king, Saul. And now, like I said, he's not remembered in a good light, but I want us to look at something before we get to the bad, essentially what he's remembered for. I want us to look at the start of his service as king. And really, the thought I want to think about with the Lord's help this morning is God's preparing work. How God prepares His servants to be used in His service. And I want to just encourage you with that this morning. So if you will, we're going to read here in verses 1 down through verse number 9. And if you'll follow along, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version today. So like I said, you'll just follow along. We'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses," which, speaking of the donkeys here, that's always a fun church word to use around Christian people. "The asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet the three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, a tabret, a pipe, a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for the Lord God is with thee. Thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day." If you will, let's just go to the word of the Lord and the word of prayer briefly. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've gathered here, Lord. I thank you for this great this great passage that you've given us, Lord. Help us now as we pull the truth out from it, Lord. By the help of your Spirit, I pray that you would deliver the message to each heart individually, Lord. May we be encouraged in these days to serve you with boldness and courage. Ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to get into this pretty quick. I don't want to fart around too much here because really, the Bible's got a great message for us here about Saul. Now, what we know here is that Saul has just been anointed king. That's what we find out in verse number one here in chapter 10. But if we look back to in chapter 9 and see Saul, he's just kind of an everyday guy. There's nothing really, the only thing special about him is his appearance, the Bible says. But other than that, he doesn't come from a great background, a great lineage of people, not from any kind of royalty. He's just an everyday person, essentially. He's an everyday person doing his thing. And the Bible says here that he was going to find his donkeys that had run away from his father. And see, the message I want us to get from that is, see, God uses everyday people to accomplish his will here. And what a privilege that is, that you and I get to be a part of God giving forth his will to us in these days. So once again, this morning I want to talk to you on how the Lord prepares his servants for service. The first thing I want us to notice this morning is that he anoints his servant. Back in chapter 9, verse 17, Saul is coming to Samuel, and we come to find out that what's happened is they've lost the donkeys. And these donkeys are gone. They don't know where they are. And Saul says, well, let's just turn back because, you know, my father, he might worry about us. Well, Saul's servant says, I heard there's a man of God in this town over here that we're next to. Why don't we go to him? Because whatever he says tends to come true, so surely he can tell us where these donkeys are at. So they go to Saul says, that's fine, let's go see Samuel. Little did Saul know he was about to become king of Israel. What a 180 that would have been to experience that. But we see here that in verse 1 of chapter 10, it says that the Lord anointed thee. He said, because the Lord hath anointed thee. So I want us to notice that God is the one who anoints us for his service. It's not any kind of special ability or knowledge or anything we can do truly, but it's God who anoints us for his service. See, anointing was the symbol of God's favor. See, a king was to be anointed to recognize that God's hand was upon him for the service that God had commissioned him to do. See, God has a job for each of us today. Each of us are given certain special gifts. We're anointed with special gifts and abilities to minister to people, to share the gospel, to love on people, to really just to show Christ to others based on these gifts that we're each individually given. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 tells us, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, and all are members of that one body, being many, are one body. Basically what he's saying is that they have these different members, right? You know, a finger has a different job than a nose. A nose has a different job than an ear. An ear has a different job than a toe, right? Everything's got its purpose, though. And without each of our individual gifts, the kingdom of God wouldn't be complete. So God needs you in your service. God has given you a special gift, and he needs you to use that gift for his service. See, nobody can do what you do the way you do it. God's given you that special ability. You are unique. You know, my gift is not the same as Bert's gift or Dr. Rudd's gift. You know, we all have different gifts. You know, Dr. Rudd, he's blessed with the gift of being a physician and being able to, you know, I guess he had a desire to go and stick his hand in somebody's, you know, insides and say, I'm going to fix this up and make you better. I was not given that gift. You know, I'm more of the crowd that will tell people that, well, I went to college, I was going to be a doctor. You know, that's my go-to. Just to give you a quick story here. I was a certified EMT in college. We had an EMT agency there, and I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And honestly, I was going to be a doctor in college. That was my purpose, but that all's changed. I'm glad it did, because my first ride in an ambulance, I get in the back, and we're going down to a little coin laundry facility, and there had been a man who had been basically called in for being kind of inebriated by different drug use and stuff, and the paramedic goes to give him an IV in his hand, and I'm not kidding, he goes to stick the IV in, and next thing I know, I'm on the other side of the cot, and here comes the blood out of that man's hand coming right for me, and I was just, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, I don't know if this is right for me. See, I wasn't blessed with that gift, but we're all all given gifts for a reason. If you look at Saul, Saul was, the Bible tells us that Saul was the tallest man of all the people in Israel. He had this great physical stature that he was a goodly man. You see, God gave Saul those physicalness abilities, and we see that comes to play as he comes to fight the Philistines and deliver the nation of Israel here from these enemies. But to summarize this up, the Bible tells us that we're to use those gifts for God's glory. And God has given you a unique gift that he has anointed for his service. The second thing I want us to notice is that he ties up loose ends. God ties up the loose ends. See, whenever God calls you or I to do something, there's always going to be a loose end. There's always that one thing of, well, I need to get this taken care of and then I'll do this. There's always the, well, I would do this, but this. There's always that one loose end. I've got this one thing. Well, in this case, Saul is like, I can imagine Saul's thinking, it's not written to us here in the pages of Scripture, so what I'm saying is not inspired, but it's what I think is probably going on in Saul's mind is, he's just made me king. He's like, well, I was just coming to get my donkeys. Like, well, what about my donkeys? I can't leave those just wandering around. I've got to go find them. Well, the Bible tells us here in verse number 2 that Samuel was prophesying to him and says, you're going to come across these men, and they're going to tell you that your donkeys have been found. And they're also going to tell you that your father is asking how you're doing. So that basically what he does is he removes that loose end of these donkeys that he was looking for, that he was might have been worried about. He totally takes that out of the picture. Why does he do that? So he can focus on what God's called him to do. He ties up those loose ends to make him available for God's work. So we all have things in life that can hold us back, that were keep us from serving the Lord. I believe, well, when I get this fixed, I'll serve the Lord. Or let me wait for this more convenient season of life before I really take this step of faith. That's not how the Lord works, folks. He wants us to take that step. Just like Saul is thrown into this position of being king, and Samuel is just reassuring him, said, God's already got your loose ends tied up. He's already got that problem figured out. See, God can take care of our loose ends so that we don't lose our focus and we can be committed to serving the Lord. The third thing I want to point out is that he supplies our daily needs. In verse number 4, Samuel tells him here, he says that you're going to go and you're going to find these three men going up to Bethel. One of them's carrying three kids, which is to be goats, like a kid goat, and another's carrying three loaves of bread and another a bottle of wine. And he says that, and they're going to give you two of those loaves of bread. We see, if you think about what's happened to Saul in the past 24 hours, he's went looking for his father's goats. He's wandered and journeyed, and then he comes along to the prophet Samuel, and Samuel says, just wait here. Tomorrow, you're going to come with me. I'm going to tell you what the Lord's told me. So he's 24 hours, his head is probably all over the place. There's a lot of big things that are happening in his life right now. And, it could be, whenever we get there, we get times in our lives where we get so busy, we get so caught up in the things of what's going on that we forget about the little things, right? How many times have you been really dialed in on some project you got to get done, some thing that has to happen, and you're like, man, it's 2:00, I haven't eaten anything all day. I'm usually pretty good about stopping to eat. I don't know about you all, but it does happen. We get caught up in our mission, our thing, that we sometimes forget about some of the little necessities of life. And we see here that Samuel says that the Lord is basically providing this for you. He said, I'm going to give you that bread. So you might have forgotten to eat, but we're going to take care of your day-to-day needs. See, we're always happy for that joyful or that big prayer request, that big project or whatever that big need is, and that God comes through. We're always happy about that, but sometimes we get forgetful that God supplies every little need that we have too. See, daily life is crazy, right? You leave the house, your wife texts you and says, I forgot to shut the garage door. Can you go back and get it? I'm speaking from experience there. then you get those messages of, who's going to watch the kids? We got this going on. You're at least me and my wife, sometimes we'll be laying in the bed at night and we'll say, what about this tomorrow? Like, what are we going to do about this? And we're like, well, I just don't know yet. We'll worry about it in the morning. I hope I'm not, I might be the only person that does that. But there's these pressures of life, right? The text message you get, I forgot the kids, I forgot we had the kids have a soccer game today. Can you go home and get their cleats? Or I forgot a meeting that I had to prepare for. I totally forgot about it, but it's coming up. I'm not ready. Or everybody's favorite question that I'm sure I'm not the only one who asked this at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but says, what's for dinner? Oh, we don't have anything in the fridge. Daily life gets, it's busy, right? And we sometimes, you know, in the stress and the focus that we have on what we're doing, we forget about the little things. But I'm here to tell you that just as we serve a God that supplies the big things, He also supplies the little things, the things that we forget necessarily to think about. See, God doesn't forget to supply the little things in our lives. He keeps us moving, and when He supplies those little things, that's just little bits of Him supplying our needs to keep us moving towards what He's called us to do. The fourth thing I want us to notice is found in verse 6, and He gives Saul a spiritual discernment. So the Lord gives us, when we're being equipped for His work, He gives us discernment. Now, what spiritual discernment is, and that really is found in verse 6 here, when Saul begins to prophesy. He says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them. We come to find out in verse 11 that Saul's friends who knew him before this event says, how is he prophesying? Like, this is not the Saul we know. This is a totally different Saul. What has happened in the past 24 hours? What has happened to the guy we know, our old buddy Saul? Well, you see, whenever God wants to use you, He gives you the spiritual discernment. He gives you the ability to understand spiritual things. The spiritual discernment really is the process of sorting out what God's will is, and that also includes sorting out those decisions, right? Those decisions we need to make, the choices we need to make, because life is all about choices, right? There's every single day, every moment of the day, you're making choices. And discernment is being able to make choices that reflect what God's will is, and make the choices that God wants you to make in order to make his work continue on, in order to make you profitable for His work. After I first surrendered to the ministry, when the Lord had really begun to call me to the ministry, I looked at some of these great seasoned men, these great seasoned pastors, and great men of God that I knew, and they had this air about them. It's like they would say, hey, I feel the Lord leading us to do that. And I thought, I'm not that spiritual. There's no way that I can be used of God as a pastor or a preacher, because I don't have this, I don't know how they do this. Like, it's one of those things, it's a mystery. How in the world am I going to serve anybody if I don't have this discernment? And I thought, I'm not, and I think there's a word that we all use sometimes, especially when we look at people, when you look at really spiritual people, pastors, great, people in your lives, and you say, well, I'm not that spiritual. Well, I'm going to tell you, over time, I found out that God equips us in the time that we need it to be sensitive to guidance from His Holy Spirit. See, a lot of the times we're trying to figure stuff out on our own. We're trying to put the pieces together, and we're not really being discerning. But whenever we need to make the right choice, God supplies that for us. And that's just like here when Saul come from a life of being as the Bible says, like a shepherd or a farmer, if you will. He comes from a life of being a farmer, and he doesn't necessarily need a super spiritual discernment to lead a kingdom. But we see that God gives him this spiritual sense to be able to, as we come to find out, lead these great armies and lead the kingdom of Israel. John 14:26 talks about how we get this, or who this spiritual guidance comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. You see, that's how we really continue, and that's how we discern things in our Christian life and in God's work, is we have to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have to have the guidance from the Holy Spirit. And God, when Jesus left this earth, He promised us that He would send somebody to help us on our way, that we're never left alone, we're not left wandering, but we can be guided by His Spirit. See, God always equips His servants to hear His voice and to know the direction that He's pushing them. Now, the last thing I want to bring up here, and I think this really sums up all 4 points I've mentioned, is all summed up in this one right here. And it's mentioned in verse number 9. And the Bible says that whenever Saul turned away from Samuel to leave, the Bible says that God gave him another heart. I think that's the key, really, for ministry, for serving the Lord, is really that God gives us a new heart. I don't mean this a sense of from like giving a new heart as in like a regeneration of when we come to know Christ, but I mean a heart for serving the Lord, a heart for serving the Lord in the place that He's called us, in the place that He's put us to be. See, God, just like He did Saul here, He transforms our desires, right? He transforms what once was important to us is no longer important to us, because what God's called us to do is now the most important thing, is the most highest calling in our life. And God transforms our desires for that by the special work of the Holy Spirit. And I find out that whenever God calls us to do something, He's going to draw you to it. Whenever God places that thing on your heart, whatever it may be, you know, God's called you to be a mother. God's called you to be a father. God's called you to be a CEO of a company. God's called you to be a missionary, a preacher, whatever it is. You may think you're not equipped for it, but I'm telling you that God gives you a new heart, and He draws you to it. He makes that an affection of yours. He makes you love doing that. See, it doesn't matter what our background is, what our experiences are, what our abilities are. God changes our desires, where our purpose is no longer to do what we thought we wanted to do, but it's to do what God's called us to do. Matthew Henry is a great Bible commentator many hundreds of years ago. He writes this about this situation. I want to read this to you because I think it's profound. He says, "A new fire was," and this is speaking of this passage of Saul, "a new fire was kindled in his breast, such as he had never before been acquainted with. Seeking the donkeys is quite out of his mind, and he thinks of nothing but fighting the Philistines, redressing the grievances of Israel, making laws, administering justice, and providing for the public safety. These are the things that now fill his head. He finds himself raised to such a pitch of boldness and bravery as he never thought he should be conscious of. He is no longer the heart of a husbandman, which is low and mean and narrow and concerned only about his corn and cattle, but the heart of a statesman, a general, a prince, whom God calls to any service, he will make fit for it. If he advances to another station, he will give another heart to those who sincerely desire to serve him with their power." See, this new heart allows us to be bold, to be courageous, to be brave in our service for the Lord, even if it goes against the very nature that we're given, even if it goes against the very people that we are. God makes us bold. He makes us brave. See, when we look, you know, at the growing evil that's in our world today, as the Bible says, as the times get later on, there'll be perilous times come. As you see in our world, we're moving from no longer an a-Christian world, but to an anti-Christian world. See, everything is against us right now. So how in the world are we to bring a message of hope and a message of truth to a world that's becoming more and more anti-Christian? See, we can only do this by being equipped with the Holy Spirit and giving a heart for God's service. We can only do so with this new heart that launches us into bold and passionate service for our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we must have a new heart. We must have a renewed heart for God's service. That's one of the great ways that He equips us to do what he's called us to do. Now, that all, and what I hope you can take away from this is that really all the equipping is on God. Every bit of everything of what you need to serve the Lord, God has already given you. If He's called you to it, He's given you everything that you need to be successful in His service. And the only thing He asks for is obedience. See, Saul had everything going for him. He had the physical attributes. He was equipped of God. He was anointed. God took care of his needs. He gave him spiritual discernment, and He gave him this new heart. So my question is, why did Saul fail? Why does Saul ultimately fail in his service of the Lord? Well, it's because he wasn't obedient. He disobeyed. See, God takes his hand off of him when he's disobedient to him. So my charge I want to give to you today, I want to encourage you, first of all, God has equipped you for his service. Everything that you need, God has already given you. And just like in Saul's life, our only job is to be obedient to what he's called us to do, to follow him. He's given us everything. So as you serve the Lord, may you go forth in boldness, knowing that God has properly equipped you. And may we as believers, may we seek to be obedient to God. And may we seek to serve him as he's called us to serve him. Bow with me, please, in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this truth that you've given us out of the life of Saul. Lord, we see how you've equipped You've equipped your servants to be used for your service. Lord, I thank you for that equipping. Lord, I thank you that you're sovereign in that equipping, Lord, that you even know what you want us to do, and you know how to turn our hearts, you know how to turn our desires to be purposed for your service. And Lord, I pray that you bless everyone that is here today, Lord, everyone listening by live stream. However anyone hears this message, Lord, I pray that you would help them in a special way. Lord, may they realize that they've been equipped for your service. And then, Lord, may they go forth in obedience to what you called them to do. And Lord, we're so grateful for all this now. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.